Good morning, church. Next week, we're going to have the Watoto come, and I trust that you would, if you have not, invite a friend to come. And as you do, let's believe God that God is going to use the Watoto Children's Choir to reach out and touch somebody in Christ. You can never tell what God can do, and especially hearing testimonies of what how God has worked in and through these children, giving them a sense of hope. That will certainly, you know, touch many lives. They were here the last time, I think it was 2014, towards the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Now, when you come next week, come early, because we're not going to have a full-fledged, full-blown worship, praise and worship. We'll probably take about 10 minutes or so, one or two songs, and then we'll take up our first offering, which is for our regular tithes and offerings. And then the Watoto will come up and they will start their program that runs for about 75 minutes. And then somewhere towards the middle, there will be an altar call response. And then also a second offering, which we'll give to Watoto. So please come prepared and let's bless the Watoto Children's Choir. It cost them a lot of money, air flights, etc., etc. I think the last time when they were here, both the Chinese English Congregation, we gave some $30,000 the Watoto. So we just thank God that we are always a giving church, and such a joy to bless the hearts and see young lives turn around because of the hope in Christ. Amen? Amen. Now let's look at our Bibles this morning, and if you are turning to your pages of your Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. The title of my message this morning is Experiencing God's Peace in Uncertain Times. Experiencing God's peace in uncertain times. In the last few weeks, so many things have happened. The political upheaval in terms of our political landscape, some were amused, some were amazed, some were surprised. So many things are happening, from the Backstreet Boys, someone says to a backdoor government, and so many other things that happen, and sometimes we are wondering, where is our country heading to? You know, we were just dancing in the streets, you know, in terms of our celebrating in May 2018 about new bureaucracy, and here we are taking a 360 degrees turn from where we have started, you know, etc. And we are wondering what is happening to our country. So much uncertainty, so much uncertainty. And even with coronavirus, we are no longer shaking hands, you know. We are waving at each other, elbowing each other, giving each other the right foot of fellowship instead of the right hand of fellowship, bumping each other with the back. All kinds of things are happening, and then the uncertainty of our future and investment, the stock market indices are plummeting. And we're wondering, where are we heading to? So much uncertainty, isn't it? So much uncertainty in the time that we are living in right now. So how do we experience God's peace in uncertain times like this, in a time and age that we are living in? And we thank God the Word of God, you know, has got direction for us always, because God's Word is never out of date. If Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." It says, let your gentleness, your composure be made known or evident to all people. And then it says, the Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. The Lord is just a prayer away. Do not be anxious about anything. Did someone just sneeze? It's amazing, isn't it? In those days, before COVID-19, when you sneeze, people turn around and smile, God bless you. Today you sneeze, did someone sneeze? God bless you anyway. All right? The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. He says, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, the Bible says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that's above all understanding, will bring a sense of peace in our hearts, and it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Simply meaning, we won't have a panic attack. Simply meaning, we won't go cuckoo. All right? He will guard our hearts and mind. What a wonderful promise and assurance in God's word. And then he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, there's so many bad things happening. And we can be so caught up with all the bad news. But it says, think of the good things. Think of the good people. Think of the good things that have happened. Think of God's promises, you know. And it says, think on these things. And then it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, teaching and preaching God's word, that the principles of God and of his word, so whatever you heard and learned from me, he says, you put it into practice. And then what happens? He says, not just the peace of God, the source of that peace, God of peace, God himself, the God of peace will be with you. How assuring is that word? Isn't that assuring? The word of God, the peace of God, the God of peace can be with us in very uncertain times like this. Now, what are some of the principles that I can glean from this passage? Number one is rejoice regardless. Rejoice regardless. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Now, when Paul was writing this, he was not holidaying in some island somewhere, you know, in this world, but he was actually in prison. And in that prison cell, he writes a letter to the Christians at Philippi, and in his difficult situation, he encourages the people out there, and he says, rejoice. Not only does he say rejoice, he says, and again I will say, an emphasis there, rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. You know, someone in prison is encouraging others out there to rejoice. Strange, isn't it? It's so ironical. And I have heard of testimonies, and some of you may experience that yourself, how you have visited someone who is fighting cancer or visiting somebody who just had a tragic event that happened to the family. You go into that home, you go into that place, you go with the intention of encouraging them and lifting them up, praying for them. And to your surprise and amazement, they seem to be okay. And they instead encourage you, talk to you and build you up, and you leave that place encouraged. And you're so amazed at what this person, as to what he or she is going through, is able to encourage you. And that's the kind of encouragement that comes from the Apostle Paul. Writing out of prison, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's the beautiful thing. It says, because the Lord is at hand. God is near. God is just a prayer reach away from all our troubles and difficulties. He is there. And so it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, has this to say to us. This is a 7th century BC prophet, who prophesied during the reign of this king called Jehoiakim, who is a wicked king, the son of Josiah, that was a good king. All right? Now, and Habakkuk says this, though the fig tree does not blossom or bud, there be no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, though there be no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, as bleak a situation may be, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in the God my Savior. The political scenario during Habakkuk's time is no different from ours. There was so much injustice happening. You know, King Jehoiakim actually exploited the people, worked the people to build his palace, pocketed money, you know, and didn't care what the common people think. You know, and he was corrupt to the very core. Not only that, he actually sanctioned the burning of the sacred scrolls, banned the word of God. And that was the political scenario. So much unrest, so much injustice, violence was the order, wickedness and violence was the order of the day. And for 11 years, Joachim reigned, and his reign was disastrous. Though he had the opportunity to follow after his father's footstep, he rather turned to evil, and Jeremiah the prophet described him as a presumptuous ruler who abused his own people and abused his power. And that was a kind of a situation that Habakkuk actually lived in, not far from where we are today, all right? But listen to Habakkuk. When he writes that, he actually had a lot of questions, because if you read Habakkuk chapter 1, he began to question God. He says, God, how long are you going to be silent? Don't you see what we are going through? The injustice, the difficulties, the abuse, etc., etc. He went on and on in chapter 1. And it's not wrong to question God as long as we don't show disrespect to God. You know, and Habakkuk questioned God. He says, and he had more questions than answers. And he says, God, why are you keeping silent? Why are all this unfolding before our very eyes? And finally, he concludes in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, there be no grapes in the wine. He says, when everything seems so bleak, he says, yet I will rejoice. I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Now, some of us are more politically inclined than others. Some are more passionate than others. I can understand that. All right? And especially for those who are more passionate and politically inclined, probably you'll be disheartened at this point in time. You know, why this? We thought there was a new government, a new future for Malaysia, and this happens. Friends, the end is not yet. No, still a lot of drama to be unfolded. Believe me, all right? The end is not yet. But he says, I will still rejoice in the Lord. How can we rejoice in the Lord in times like this, all right? When the future seems so bleak. I will give you a number of lessons here, 6 in all. Lesson number 1, do not be caught up in the moment. Do not be caught up in the moment or we will be overwhelmed. Life is always like that. Do not be caught up in the moment. If you are just caught up in the moment, what happened there, here and now, you know, we'll be so devastated. Whether it's bad news in terms of illness or investment or this or that, you know, when you're caught up in the moment, you'll be overwhelmed. Always see the bigger picture. And sometimes, even though we can't see the bigger picture, we say, God, we trust you that you are still in control. So don't be caught up in the moment. Lesson number 2 is that we have to catch a glimpse of the sovereign God. Trust the sovereignty of God, that he is able, that he is sovereign, that he is God. He knows what he's doing. You know, nothing catches him by surprise. And what is happening here, you know, he has got a greater purpose. Even bad things, when bad things happen to good people. You see, when I read the book of Acts 4, chapter 27 to 29, this is what the Bible says when Jesus was living in his time. He says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city for what? To conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. In other words, God knew, God allowed. And even the bad. Can you imagine the people at Jesus during Jesus' day? How they were praying when Jesus was persecuted, when Jesus was taken to the cross, when so much injustice was done towards him. Probably they've been praying, oh God, deliver Jesus. But that was not God's purpose. God's plan and purpose was to have Jesus go to the cross. He says, this is part and parcel of his will. And no wonder Habakkuk 3:16 says, I heard, my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound of decay crept into my bones, my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on a nation invading us. They were persecuted. But yet it says, I will wait, I will wait. You know, and Habakkuk 3:19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. God is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Have you ever watched some documentary in National Geographic, you know, about these deers and these ghost mountain goats, you know, navigating the steep slopes of mountain, so steep, you know, and they don't have rubber heels, feet, and suction cups, none of that. In fact, it's quite hard, quite slippery, and you wonder how in the world they can navigate all of those terrain and then sometimes jump from one place to another and run down and not fall. It's just amazing. Isn't that true? I watch those documentaries and say, how in the world do they do that? I walk normal road, so I trip. And so you realize it's the marvel of God. And God is telling us, learn from nature. Learn from those mountain goats. Learn from the deer. He says, their hind feet will not slip. And God is saying to us, hang on in there. You know, I will sustain you. Do not worry. Do not worry. I will sustain you. All right? And that's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. And so the first thing we learn here, you know, is this. Is that, you know, we can always rejoice regardless because we have a great and almighty God, all right? A great and almighty God, a God who cares for us, a God who loves us, a God who is able, more than able. The second thing here is, you know, we are to be resilient in prayer. Second main thing here is we are to be resilient in prayer. 5-7 of Philippians 4 says, the Lord is at hand. God is near. God is with us. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. Okay? And he says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he says what? And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding or all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We won't go bonkers. In 1988, Bobby McFerrin, does that name ring a bell? He released a song that went to number one on the Billboard Top 100 charts. The song title is Don't Worry, Be Happy. I know. That went to number one. Lovely, catchy tune, sung a cappella style, and with lovely lyrics. I just love the lyrics of this song. You know, if your rent is late, don't worry, be happy. Your landlord may have to mitigate, but don't worry, be happy. He also advises and says, in life you will have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. So don't worry, be happy. But I know life isn't that easy, right? Easy to sing the song, but in reality, it is not. I once heard someone, there's so much fake news going around. I once heard someone, some years back, someone says that this guy, Bobby McFerrin, who wrote this song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, so much advice for everybody, he actually committed suicide and died. Not true. Not true at all. No, don't keep forwarding. Somebody forwarded me something. I said, by the way, do you know this person personally that you're asking for help? He said, no, he just forwarded message. Oh, I see. Thank you. You know, just like that. So don't listen to everything you hear. But no, it's so easy. It's a good phrase. Don't worry, be happy. But sometimes, sad to say, it's just positive thinking and no more than that. What is positive thinking? You know that scripture verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a faith statement. A God, a faith-filled statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But sometimes you stop only, I can do all things. That is positive thinking. I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things. If you don't study, you won't pass your exam. You just won't pass your exam. If you testify and say, I didn't study, but I passed, oh, God is very merciful to you. Don't test God, all right? You know, I believe that God can also make you pass even if you don't study. God can do that, but He won't. There's some things God won't do. So, in reality, the scripture verse there is to be read as, I can face all situations that come my way through Christ who strengthens me. Because in the context of the message, Paul was saying that, you know, I learned how to rejoice and turn on the tap a bit bigger when I have plenty. And I learned how, you know, to be content when I don't have enough. So whether in good times or bad times, in plenty or in little, you know, I learned to be content. And then it says, I can face all situation, good or bad, through Christ who strengthens me. And that is, you know, that's not just positive confession, it's faith. So regardless, you know, we have a God who is with us. And so what the Bible is saying here is, be anxious for nothing. Lesson number 3. Be anxious for nothing, but prayerful in everything. Be anxious for nothing, but be prayerful in everything. So when you have problems and you cannot sleep, someone says, don't count sheep. 1, 2, 3, 10, 50, 80, 90, 4 sleep. Sometimes you count to 1,000, you still can't sleep. The more you count, the more you can't sleep. All right? When you cannot sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. You know, even though it's just 2 minutes, just wake up and commit it to God. So be anxious for nothing, but be prayerful in everything. So don't give up. Resilience in prayer. Don't give up praying. Some of us have given up praying because we say it's hopeless, cannot, no, beyond redemption, our country. So you give up praying. Not so. Okay, don't give up praying. Pray, continue to pray for your king, because we are commanded to pray for our king. Even though you may think they didn't make a right decision, I'm not saying he made a wrong one, but even though you think he didn't make a right decision, all right, continue to pray for your king, because God asks us to pray. In fact, God asks us to pray for everybody, including our enemies. People that you don't like, people who abuse our country, a mess. Riches and wealth, pray for them. The least we could do is pray that they will come to know Jesus. Isn't that true? You know, we are always redemptive, resilient in prayer, always praying, never giving up praying. That's why in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a parable where it says we ought to pray and not give up. And the parable was this widow that came to God, came to a judge. And this judge did not fear God. Did not fear what people say. He was a God and a king to himself, so to speak. Nothing could move him. But because of the woman's persistency, he gave in. And that's why Jesus tells us, do not give up hope. Continue to pray. You know, situations that you are in, situation for a country, whatever we are going through as an individual, as a family, keep on praying. Do not give up. Be resilient in prayer. You know, never tired, never weary, never disappointed, but keep on keeping on and praying. Some of us have given up praying because for so long, God has not answered our prayer. Or maybe we have prayed so many times and nothing happened. Continue to keep on praying. Never give up. Never give up. All right? Lesson number 4 is this. When we pray, pray with thanksgiving. What does the Bible say? In Philippians 4, verse 5 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and petition. He says, present your request to God. But before he says, present your request to God, he says this, he says, in everything in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. All right, so when we pray, we thank God. When we pray for a situation, we thank God. Now, we may not thank God, maybe, for example, a person that you have dealings with. You may not thank God for what he did to you, but you still thank God for his life, his faith. All right? Likewise, our country, our politicians, sometimes we say, oh, we don't thank. Sometimes we pray angry. We want to bring down rain, storm, or fire and sulfur and what have you, judgment, you know, that God will zap some people up. But always pray with thanksgiving. Not with an angry heart, not with vengeance, you know, but praying with thanksgiving. Thanking God, you know, that you are still in control. Thanking God that you work something out. Thanking God that you have this opportunity to pray to a God who's able, more than able. Thanking God, regardless, you know, we are better off than so many other people in so many different countries. Really, seriously, you know, with a thankful heart, with thanksgiving. That's the only way to keep our sanity. You know, if you want to get caught up with all the with the moment, with all this happening, the political drama that's unfolding before us, and so many other things with COVID-19 that's spreading, you know, uncertain times and uncertainty, you know, there'll be no peace within our hearts. But always be just thankful. Thankful that we still have life. Thankful that we can still pray to God who listens to us. In fact, the best prayer is the Lord's Prayer. Can you imagine? Disciples come to Jesus and they realize that John has taught disciples to pray and pray well. So maybe, I'm not sure whether Jesus taught them and they didn't learn, or Jesus had not taught them to pray until this point. It's debatable. All right? So they come to Jesus and says, Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught disciples to pray. And you know what? Of all the prayers and prayer books and all the prayers that are recorded and have been put together in prayer books of all denominations, there's only one prayer that Jesus gave us as a model prayer. And it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Volumes have been written about the Lord's Prayer, commentaries. I read quite a bit of that, you know, and I'm amazed at some angles that they really look at this. And it's amazing and it's good. But let me say this to you, on this side of heaven, I would probably never fully understand the depth and the magnitude and the power of this prayer. Why? Because it was given to us by the greatest intercession of all time, Jesus Christ himself. It was given to us by God himself. Simple. But I think there's so much in that prayer that we don't quite understand. And so this has been one of those prayers I pray very often. You know, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I just pray to that prayer. Sometimes, you know, it almost be like chanting. You get what I mean? You just go to a retreat. You know, you just pray without even really knowing what it really means. I think our heart should be there, but yet our mind can't fully comprehend it. But it's a powerful prayer nonetheless. And I would advise you to pray as much as you can. Just recite the Lord's Prayer. He Imagine of all prayers, Jesus knew God himself. It's not like us, no? Can you write an article? Or can you do this? Or can you, you know? And then we do it, and after that, hindsight, we say, I should have done something better. Isn't that true? Huh? I've got given a better write-up or something like that. But Jesus, you know, he makes no mistake, it's God himself. And so there's so much in this prayer, packed into this prayer, that Jesus knew is going to be used in ages to come until he's coming back again. And you and I, the church, overall, universal, is going to pray this prayer. And don't you think it's a worthy prayer to pray? I think it is. Sometimes I just don't know how to pray anymore. I just say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And I go on and on. For thine is the glory and the power and the kingdom forever and ever. And I say, so be it. Amen and amen. Resilient in prayer. Number three, last but not least, recalibrate our priorities. We are to recalibrate our priorities. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think on the good. There are a lot of bad that's happening in this world, but there's also a lot of good. And sometimes when you see some good happenings and when you watch some good videos or watch some, real-life videos or listen to some good news, good things that happen, you know, even today, it refreshes our heart, isn't it? And then it says in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, visit the place, preach there. He writes to them, you know, and he says, whatever I preach and spoke to you about, those are the principles of God. Say, put the word of God, put the principles of God to practice. And know what happens? It's not just the peace of God will be you. The source of the peace, the God of peace will be with you. Oh, I just love that. It's not just the end product, the peace of God, is the source of that peace. The God of peace, God will be with us. And so I don't worry. You know, I'm concerned, yes, but I don't fret. I face challenges, yes, but I don't panic. Problems, yes, but I don't go cuckoo. For the peace of God guards my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus so that I still can sleep. I can still laugh. I can still be happy. I don't allow the things that doesn't go right for me to disappoint me to a point where it eats me up like cancer. You know, I rejoice in the Lord. And that's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Because God is at hand. And we need to recalibrate our priorities. So important. Lesson number 5, seek God's higher purposes for Malaysia. You know what's recalibrate? Today when you get lost and you're on the road, you are in the whole road and city is like a maze to you. What do? You take out your handphone in that maze and you waste. And then, when you waze, you'll be amazed how the waze can take you through the maze and then bring you to where you want to go, and then you are amazed at the waze. It's just amazing. But I still remember during the days of GPS, I still have my GPS at home. It took me a long time to switch from GPS to Waze. You know, people like me, baby boomer, very conscious about money. Oh, your ways are data, no, use data, no, don't want to use, you know, use GPS. GPS means guna pun sesat, which is true. One day I was driving in KL, and I saw my car, and the road was green, and all of a sudden, I saw my car not on the road. You got a 3D picture. My car was on the building in Jalan Ampang. I said, how did that happen? And then I realized over time, because of satellite, you know, it has gone, or it's been misaligned, gone tangent. And so what I have to do is, to get my GPS working right, I have to recalibrate. Go to settings, go to recalibration, and then dots will appear at the four corners of the box. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know? And then we press the dot. We press the dot. Just follow the instruction. Dot, 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 dot. And the last dot, doop. Shh. Recalibrate. And then you're on course again. All right? That's recalibration. Why over time, things get misaligned? That's why every 10,000 km, you send your car for alignment. Sometimes less than 10,000, depending on driving habits and the roads you are on and also your car. You know, maybe 5,000 on your tires will wear off. It will cost you a lot. So we go for realignment and recalibration. And even our spiritual life too. Recalibrate our priorities. And one of those lessons here is this, seeking God's higher purpose or purposes for Malaysia. Now listen to what Isaiah says. I form the light, I create darkness, I bring prosperity, and I also create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down on righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. And then when you read Matthew chapter 24, it's not on the screen, and verse 4 to 8, Matthew 24, 4 to 8, 2, 4, 4, 8. I'm not giving you a number there. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Don't fret. Don't think, oh, what's happening? You know? He says, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginning of birth pains." So how do we pray as Christians in relation to the wars that are taking place around, you know, our earth and this out in our world that we live in? You know, how do we respond to earthquakes and famines and injustice and corrupt? How do we respond to all of that? So very often we pray that wars will stop. So very often we pray diseases will go. So very often we pray prosperity would come, stability would be there, and we pray that way. But there's always a higher priority, as the scripture was that we have read just now. Sometimes God allows all of this to take place because it's part and parcel of His plans. And I still remember on Wednesday prayer meeting, I was praying for somebody who I don't know what the need was really, but I was praying there and then. And as I was praying, and in my prayer, I was telling God how to solve her problem. Have you prayed like that before? You know, we pray and we think this is the best solution. And we say, God, let that be open, that you do this, that God, you just that, or God, you deal with that person. Or, you know, and I stopped in the track of, in the middle of my praying, in my tracks, I stopped. And I said, oh, God, I don't want to tell you what to do. I shouldn't be telling God what to do. But I said, God, you know. And God, we pray, you know, that you will undertake in this situation. You see, it's not that we cannot pray in the way we want to pray. We pray in faith. We've always been told to pray in faith, yes. But there's always a higher purpose in God's plan. Always a higher purpose. So when it comes to Malaysia, what are we to pray for? Seriously speaking, baby boomers, people like my age, we probably won't see the country turn around in our time. I don't know about you. I'm not a prophet of doom. But given what is happening in our country, it's going to take many, many more GEs before change really takes place. You think of the Apostle Paul when he was writing in his time and addressing Christians and social issues of his time. Slavery was one of those things. And it was also happening in the church. But not once did the Apostle Paul say, let your slaves go. Free them. This is not right. No. All he said was, masters, treat your slaves with dignity and respect. Be human to them. Be humane. Then he says, slaves, serve your master as you are serving God. He's talking in a Christian context. And it took many, many, many more years later when Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States of America. He signed the papers of emancipation. And even then, you know, today there's still slavery in America. It's well and alive. Believe me. It's well and alive. You know, so what we are saying is this, that it's going to take generations for where we are today. Not just gender equality, racial equality, in so many different aspects. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. I am not a prophet doom. I wish it would happen in my lifetime. But looking at the scenario of things, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Why? Because tomorrow I may die. Simple as that. And how long can I live? Right? So we need to have a perspective right. We need to recalibrate. Seeking God's higher purposes for Malaysia, not to be preoccupied with peace, comfort, economical, and political stability, but with God's kingdom purposes here on earth. You see, I just admire, I'm not saying it's wrong to gather together to pray for our country. We have to pray for our country. But there's a greater purpose that our country, Malaysia, will be turned to Jesus. Can we gather together to pray for our country? You know, prayer meetings in churches are filled when there is a upheaval in terms of their political drama and so on that happens. But on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, when you're praying for our country, when you're praying for God's people, when you're praying, you know, for so many other things that affects God's kingdom, prayer meetings are empty. So what am I saying is that it's not wrong to pray for our country, but we need to recalibrate to see the higher purposes of God. That's why when Paul was having a thorn in his flesh, the Bible says in Corinthians, three times he prayed. First time, second time, third time, all three times God answered his prayer, but not the way he wanted it. He was seeking for deliverance, that God would deliver him from this issue that was tormenting him. What it was, we do not know. But three times God answered him, but says, God was saying, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. What is God seeking after? What is God after? Why Paul was after deliverance, God was seeking development in him. And always, always, it is in those hard times that God developed us as a person, our character. So thank God. Thank God for hard times. Sometimes those are only times that we learn lessons that we can never learn otherwise. Songs that we sang, take me deeper where my feet could ever wander, where my faith will ever grow, will be ever made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Beautiful song that we sang just now. And worship team, we're going to end with that song in a while. Beautiful song. But you know what the song means? Take my feet deeper. You know, where my... Take me deeper, you know, where my feet could ever wander. Those are hard times. Deep waters. Difficult times. You see, our theology and our singing, all this, for me, song, I'm not like, all these new songs the young people saying, very loud, very fast, we don't even understand. I'm not bothered by all of that. I want to know the theology in that song. And this is a powerful song, a real-life theology. Take my feet deeper. You know, take me deeper to where my feet could even ever wander so that my faith could grow stronger. See, that's theology. That's powerful theology. That's when we sing, it's more than just singing. God says, you sing, you praise me with your lips, your heart is far from me. Friends, heart must be near to God. These are powerful times. So don't just be inward-looking and small-minded, you know, but look at the bigger picture. Look at God. What is God's will for Malaysia? And last but not least, lesson number 6 is trusting God as our ultimate ruler. Trusting God as the ultimate ruler. Psalms 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord God Almighty. Our trust is always in God, not in a political party, you know, not in a system. We pray that they will get better. We pray for the right people to be, you know, in office, in rule. All those are important. But really, at the end of the day, our faith and hope is not in horses and chariots, not in the stock market, not in the system, not even in our companies that we work at, no matter how good the companies are. Our faith and our hope is our Lord God Almighty. Someone say an amen to that. And stand with me, won't you? Worship team, please come back. And Veronica, I'd like to end with Oceans, if you don't mind. Just lead us in that song. We still got time. Lead the full song. Lead us in worship. Bulega. Bule, okay. And let's do that, okay? And let's worship God. There is hope in Christ. And whatever we are going through as Malaysians in this country, whatever we are going through as an individual, whatever you are fighting as a family, whatever challenges you may have in your businesses, whatever it may be, friends, we can experience the God of peace and the peace of God in uncertain times. Amen? Praise God. So we'll call upon His name.